it helps when I get all the right buttons pushed. It really, really does. So we'll just take the whole intro thing as read, shall we? Yes, two lets. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go to jump into the chat room, among other things. That's where you go if you want to hang out with Anatole and Jug of Punch. Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky and me, and others soon to come for this here Moran Monday. Yes, indeed. This is a little listener-supported broadcast operation, and big thanks going out over the weekend and earlier today to Bob in Texas and to our longtime friend Tosh for their help in keeping this whole thing afloat. There will be a frenzy of end-of-the-month bill paying going on in the not-too-distant future. We try to raise $200 every evening to keep the thing going. That's 20 apiece, 20 at 10, 20 people at 10 bucks, 10 people at 20 bucks, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, and 32 at 6 and a quarter. And 64 at $3.12.5. So we'll can we round that up to $3.13? Okay, yeah. That's the easiest way to go about it. You're not on. Okay, hold on. Now I am. Now I'm on. Okay. So, too many switches. Everything's fine. So we'll take the whole intro thing as read, but yeah, the last part there. We try to raise $200 every evening. Thanks very kindly again to Bob in Texas and to our dear friend Tosh of long standing. Thank you very kindly. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. You need not worry about the questions about where you work or who you work for or what you do when you're doing that or any of that kind of stuff. You can blow past that. It's all about just getting to the next screen. But for purposes of postal, checks and money orders, that kind of thing, you can, of course, always send stuff to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And, yeah, again, checks and money orders only, please, because, well, the folks in the postal department, somewhere in the USPS system, have been known to relieve letters of cash enclosed therein. Okay? So we survived snowpocalypse. It got rather ugly cold, and it began to feel like a modern-day Quest for Fire, sort of hoarding back the one-pound bottles of propane and trying to use them judiciously. There's still next to no propane bottles to be had over in Fayetteville and the Oak Hill area. Or Summersville. Nope, not a blessed nothing. But here's the amazing thing. The antiquated, rickety, coal-fired power grid maintained by Appalachian Power, credit where credit is due, held up. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any power losses because we would have been sincerely screwed under those circumstances. Yeah, thanks, Snowbama. Get that, Snowbama? Yeah, right, yeah. There were varying degrees of snow, and I'm sitting here talking about it as if it were something amazing. I mean, there were some beautiful photos taken from the International Space Station of the weather system as it covered up the eastern United States from the Gulf to the upper northeast. But it was snow, and it'll be gone in short order. I posted a few pictures that we took yesterday while out and about. Yesterday was one of those Sierra Leone blue sky days with hardly a cloud in sight. That's where we sit. Well, we got through it. And I'm awfully, awfully happy that the power stayed on and didn't knock down any computers and we didn't lose any recordings or any of that kind of thing. So so we find ourselves at 7 minutes past the hour on this 25th day of January 2016 as we head downhill. There are 5 broadcast days left in the month of January. And come Sunday, I'll celebrate my 53rd birthday. How about that? And I know also because I was sort of peeking, I know there are at least a couple of members of the Horn Family Commune congregation who will share a birthday next Sunday with me. So happy birthday, Reinhard, in advance. But today is Monday, and you know what that means, right? Yeah, Mondays are special around here. Oh, yes, they are, because, well, Morans. Yeah, it's Moran Monday on the Horn.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
That's right. Follow your ears to the sound, the dulcet sounds of the Calliope machine as it leads you to the Moran Monday tent. It is indeed Moran Monday on the Horn, and here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we have waiting for you an absolute imaginarium, a mysterium, a horrificum of right-wing Moranity. We've got them all here for you, folks. Come on over from the Midway, wander on by, take a chance, step right in. For less than 17 cents per hour of programming per $10 a month subscriber, we've got them all. We've got Birther Morans, Deather Morans, Ninther Morans, Tenther Morans, Bircher Morans, Booger-Eating Morans, Repiglicans, Libertarians. We've got the full gamut and panoply of Moranity. You know, you can't tell a Moran... Well, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell the Morans much. No, indeed. Of course, an advisory always goes out to anyone stepping beyond the thin cybernetic veil of canvas to keep close hands on children, pets, watches, purses, wallets, European messenger bags, because being right-wing Morans, they can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And we've got a lively selection of nominees this evening too. I can promise you that. I thought we would get started a little bit out of the ordinary this evening, if that's okay. Yeah. You know, the NFC and AFC championships were held yesterday. Right. A lot of people were very happy. I saw this little pie chart that said that showed a thin sliver of orange that was denoted as people happy the Broncos won, and the entire rest of the pie was people just happy the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl. Well. Yeah, it was 20-18? We're not going to recap that here. So Denver's going to the Super Bowl, but the late game was the Carolina Panthers And their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Cam Newton, versus the Arizona Cardinals, who had been in St. Louis many years ago, and before that started out in Chicago, didn't they? Yeah. But anyway, they're Arizona Cardinals now, although Cardinals probably dry up and desiccate and blow away in the Arizona desert. But you know, who's counting? How many Panthers are there in Carolina, after all? But anyway, that game was a laugh riot for Panthers fans. It was a stomping. 49-15, Carolina beat Arizona. And you know, it's NFL, and I enjoy college ball, and the NFL is not nearly as exciting to me as what college ball is. But it is a major industry in the United States, the nonprofit organization known as the National Football League. Nonprofit. Yeah, you gotta love that part. Yeah. Damning report came out from ESPN last week, doing some actual journalism, showing that there's been some skullduggery and funny business going on, particularly with the New England Patriots, for the last many years, and that the response to Tom Brady and Deflategate last year was an exaggerated response in a sort of a makeup call, as it were. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh saying, how about them Panthers? Well, yes, indeed. How about them Panthers? And you might be curious as to why I would be talking about this particular football game on Moran Monday. There's a reason. Because it generated a Moran. Yes, it did. And no one on the field. No. And miraculously, no one in the broadcast booth. Now, this Moran Monday nomination goes to, and I don't know if he's a staff writer or a stringer. Does the New York Times publish the work of, do they use stringers? Because, never mind. The author of this particular story is a young reporter, I think a graduate of Syracuse University back in 2009, by the name of Zach Schoenbrunn. Mm-hmm. Zach Schoenbrunn is a young'un, relatively speaking. He's not one of those grizzled, old, stogie, chomping, fedora-wearing, ugly sport jacket donning. No, he's a young guy. I think he graduated, like I said, Syracuse around 2009 or thereabouts. So that would make him maybe not quite 30. But he sounds like he reads like he's 90. Let's just enjoy some of the text. Dateline, Charlotte, North Carolina. And remember, the New York Times actually published this. And it's not as a blog. It's a breaking news story. Dateline, Charlotte, North Carolina.
15 minutes in, the party had already started. The laughing, the singing, the dabbing, the crowing. The U2 song Sunday, Bloody Sunday rang through the loudspeakers and towels waved, and it continued to feel justifiably as if the Carolina Panthers were on the verge of another score.
To have John Facenda to read this for us. With a little... in the background for NFL films. Oh, this seems like it could easily have been that old.
Well, when were they not, young Zach Schoenbrunn writes. 15 minutes in, the Panthers already had 17 points and were racing like a foxhound after the mere scent of a Super Bowl, dusting the Arizona Cardinals in this matchup between top seeds in the NFC Championship game, a matchup that was rapidly tilting toward one side.
Hey, my John Facenda's not that bad, is it? We just need the music.
Well, it continues. With the best record in football, with the presumptive NFL most valuable player at quarterback, and a league-high 10 players selected to the Pro Bowl, Carolina still felt disrespected in this season of so much parity and mediocrity across the rest of the league. Their response Sunday was simply to hammer Arizona 49-15. They've been doubting us all year, defensive lineman Charles Johnson said, prompting a cry from a teammate amid locker room din. Every year, with the win, Carolina 17-1 advanced to the Super Bowl for the second time in franchise history. Instead of a rematch with New England on February 7th, the Panthers will face the Denver Broncos, who defeated the Patriots earlier Sunday 20-18 in the AFC Championship game. At Bank of America Stadium, it was the first postseason matchup between Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, although comparing the Panthers' Cam Newton and the Cardinals' Carson Palmer was a bit like saying snowmobiles and snowplows are both winter vehicles. Yes, but Newton, 26, tall and limber, boasts a fearsome combination of strength and speed.
Zach Schoenbrunn is not Haywood Halebrunn, not by a long shot. Because here's the paragraph. Here's the time-traveling paragraph. Here's the paragraph that made me sort of sit up and what? And wonder if I had suddenly time-traveled back to the cranky old days of Ed Sullivan and preachers in southern pulpits complaining about Elvis and his pelvis and standards and practices insisting that Elvis never be photographed anything but from like the nipples up. Because he was shimmying. No, really. Writing of Cam Newton, Zach Schoenbrunn writes, "His on-field antics can be grating. After touchdowns, and there were many, he would shimmy and shake with a perfect Cheshire Cat grin that seemed just a tad too bright, too confident, too playful. He brought a little-known dance move, the dab, in which a person pretends to sneeze into his elbow, and I've been trying to do that all day long, and I can't bend far enough to get my elbow up to my nose. I can stick the crook of my elbow up to my nose because you can probably to the actual elbow. No.
Into the mainstream, he was easy to love or to loathe.
Jesus, really? Cam Newton, it goes without saying, is black. And in the 1 year that he played for Auburn University, he led them to a national championship and won the Heisman Trophy and was amazing to behold. He was snapped up by the Carolina Panthers in the draft, and they have patiently gone about the business of building a football team around him without, in the interim, getting him broken into a million tiny pieces. Who was the guy for Sam? What's his name from Sam Bradford from Oklahoma, or who was that? Who was that incredibly friable little dude from the University of Texas? It just snapped like a twig in a breeze. But no, as noted, Cam Newton is tall and limber. Yeah. And did I mention black? Because that's what that paragraph seems to be hinting at. He has a perfect Cheshire cat grin. And you know what that means, right? That's a Lewis Carroll reference, of course. The Cheshire cat would grin, and then he would disappear until there was nothing left but his bright, white, grinning, smiling teeth. Yeah, really. And of course, Cam Newton shimmies and shakes. You'd think this was the first time an end zone dance had ever been done. Zach Schoenbrunn has the privilege of going to an NFL conference championship game, and he writes about shimmying and shaking. I'm surprised the word gyrating isn't in here. A little known dance move, the dab. How little known is it? We don't watch NFL around here, and Ferg knows what the dab is, and Margie knows what the dab is, and Doodle knows what the dab is, and I dare say our eldest even knows what the dab is, and it's quite possible that my grandchildren know what the dab is. I don't. But I've heard them use the word. And this was apparently poor little Mr. Schoenbrunn was just looking for something, anything to write about, because we get references to what? Shimmy and shaking?
Huh? Why?
Wait. Could it be?
Palmer, on the other hand, knows how unforgiving the NFL can be. A decade older than Newton, and in his 13th season, Palmer, who has twice sustained serious knee injuries, set Arizona's franchise record for passing yards, touchdowns, and passer rating this season. This gratifying year was also followed by a win in the divisional round over Green Bay, Palmer's first postseason victory. After the victory over the Packers, Palmer admitted to some nerves. He had struggled. A dislocated finger on his throwing hand, injured in Week 15, might have bothered him. Perhaps it was the Packers' pressure, which swarmed him constantly. Regardless, Palmer persevered, throwing the winning touchdown pass in overtime to bring the Cardinals to the conference title game. But the struggles returned Sunday. The Panthers' defense appeared impossibly fast, making Palmer look slow and bumbling. Trailing 24-7 late in the first half, Carolina defensive end Charles Johnson poked the ball out of Palmer's hand, and the Panthers recovered at the Cardinals' 31-yard line. Palmer finished 23 of 40 for 235 yards. With one touchdown, four interceptions, and two fumbles lost to Carolina's swarming defense.
And it is way, 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 way the oh my God hell down in the body, way into the story before you find out that Cam Newton finished 19 of 28 for 335 yards with two touchdowns and one interception, and that he leapt over the pile to score from 1 yard out late in the first half. He also had a 12-yard run for a touchdown in the third quarter. You know, that's pretty impressive, right? Those are all that's all in the very the penultimate paragraph to the entire sports news story. But what do you get at the top? That arguably the best player in the entire league for the entire season, well, he can be grating because he shimmies and he shakes. I kept reading this, wondering if we were going to get our Howard Cosell moment at some point with Zach Schoenbrunn typing, "Look at that little monkey run." God damn. I mean, there's bad sports writing, and then there's this guy. Perfect Cheshire Cat grin, a tad too bright, too confident, too playful. Because yeah, God forbid somebody should do anything except grimly going about the business of becoming a multi-millionaire in the NFL. God forbid somebody should actually enjoy playing the game. After all, he's got a little-known dance move. Yes, as a matter of fact, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, somehow or another, Zach Schoenbrunn, proud son of Syracuse University, managed to get through the entire article with this Cheshire Cat and the grating and the shimmying and the shaking and the dabbing. The only thing he didn't do was refer to Cam Newton as uppity. But I think we can read grading for uppity. I really do. I think we can. If I felt like there was any point to it, if I felt like there was any reason to waste any more of my precious finite time on this little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe, I'd drop a line to the New York Times public editor and say, "What the f*** is this?" We get a review of what the sports reporter thinks of Cam Newton's dance skills, and then his actual stats on the game are buried in the next to last paragraph of the article after four or five articles about the quarterback who sucked during the game. Ron and Raleigh caught me. At least I didn't get a Bob on this. Excuse me? Hey, Bob, did you say the No Fun League? That's the thing. Cam Newton appears to be having fun, and that's something up with which apparently Zach Schoenbrunn will not put. But I wanted to get that nomination out there because we don't often have nominations from the highbrow, highfalutin sporting press. And then, you know, it's entirely possible that's just me. It's entirely possible that I'm the only person who saw the shimmy and the shaking and the gyrating and grating and didn't see any racial overtones in that. It's possible, I admit it. But damn.
I don't want my daughter listening to any of that Elvis Presley music.
Because remember, back in the origins of rock and roll, what Elvis did is Elvis took music that had been becoming immensely popular in the black community, and he translated it into the white community, where the white community promptly co-opted it and went absolutely stark raving crazy about it in terms of being really, really, fond of it. Or, of course, the ones, the reactionaries, the old white wingers, the members of the Klan, the Birchers, the Booger Eaters, and the preachers and the Southern defenders of upstanding God-fearing Southern dignity, he's going to bring about the downfall of civilization with that shimmying and shaking and that gyrating. Hey, look at him there. Looks like he got a disjointed knee. So there's our first Moran nominee for the evening. But we got more. We got a lot more, really. I got some Moran audio here. And thanks, by the way, to Ron for the NFL Films music there. It made it feel ever so much more authentic. John Facenda actually is a voiceover hero of mine. God, that voice. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's true. That's true. And maybe half the nomination, too. Carol pointing out, half the blame for that drivel belongs to the editorial board. What editorial board? I mean, I'm beginning to wonder. Even the New York Times. I mean, is there a blue pencil left in the building? Oh, and I'm being told, you know, I think I read that somewhere. The NFL decided to no longer be a nonprofit, and they came out into the, right, yeah. Oh, no, okay. Yeah, that came from Heather. Thank you, Heather. But we've got that story, and an update from the land of freedom, to wit, Oregon. The Hee Haw Caliphate, the Al Qaeda, Vanilla ISIS, are apparently at one and the same time trying to negotiate a withdrawal from the Mahler National Wildlife Refuge, at the same time that they're trying to gin up a new land grab. They've found themselves a pet sheriff in neighboring Grant County, Oregon. This is one of those goobers who thinks he's the highest, most powerful law enforcement officer in the county. I guess they don't have prosecuting attorneys there, because the prosecuting attorney of the county is generally referred to as the chief law enforcement officer of the county. But no, they found themselves a genuine goober, a sheriff. Sheriff Glenn Palmer of Grant County, Oregon. He says, the government is going to have to concede something in order for the Bundys to withdraw with nary a shot fired and nary an arrest made and nary a presentment made to the federal grand jury after an act of sedition that involved an invasion of a property that is owned by we, the people of the United States, trying to work out the details of that more perfect union. Sheriff Glenn Palmer says that the feds should start by releasing Dwight and Stephen Hammond. Those are the two who are doing prison time, I guess, down L.A., toward L.A., doing prison time for committing arson on federal lands that nearly killed a firefighter. But that's okay with Sheriff Glenn Palmer, Moran. Who knew, but there is there's a group out there, another one of these Patriot militia outfits that declared in 2011 declared Glenn Palmer
Constitutional Sheriff of the Year.
God almighty. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sort of the crab walk sidle over into Grant County on the way out of Malheur. Meanwhile, the Patriots are convening a common law grand jury, and that's going to be overseen by a sovereign citizen. Remember when the sovereign citizens were caught trying to kill their way up to knock off President Obama? Yeah, sovereign citizens. Joaquin Mariano de Moreta Folch is going to lead the common law grand jury. In previous cases of common law grand juries, people indicted by same, let's see, they've been stalked. They've had fraudulent liens placed against their homes. They've been harassed. They've kidnapped government officials. They've beaten them. And yet, reporter John Sepulveda of Oregon Public Broadcasting says, when this jury reaches its verdict, the sentence is often psychological. Or psychotical. Who knows? Even referring to it as a jury. It's a mob! Jesus. And you know how we've said in the past that the Koch brothers, hi Chuck, hi Dave, you pigs, had to have their filthy hands in here? Guess what? The American Lands Council is promoted by the Koch brothers. Yeah. They picked up on the complaints of one Tad Haupt. Tad! He's a logger who says, fuck him owls. I want to cut me some trees. And he's been pissing and moaning about federal land management, and that's when the Koch brothers organization, American Lands Council, noticed him. But the Ammonia Bundy and his brother Ryan apparently hope to get some sort of crap started over in Grant County. You know, all because it would be ever so unpleasant were the federal government to actually simply enforce the law. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what's his name? Keep an ear out for mention of Sheriff Glenn Palmer, constitutional sheriff. See, he thinks that he has the power, among other things, to eject federal agents, federal law enforcement, the federal government from Grant County, Oregon. And, you know, with all due respect to the voters of Grant County, Oregon, you know what they could do? At the next opportunity, they could run a sane person for sheriff, bounce Glenn Palmer out on his ass, let him go and sleep on the couch at Bundyville or where the hell ever. Yeah, or what say all the federal money that goes into Grant County, Oregon just doesn't get there anymore? Won't take too long for those roads to turn into gravel, and from there to mud ruts. I imagine some Grant Countyans will be right pissed off when the Social Security checks don't show up. Yeah. Jesus. But then this little bit of stupidity. Wait. There was supposed to be another community meeting this evening in Burns, Oregon. But the town canceled that meeting because why? Well, because the seditious asshats led by Ammonium Bundy said that they would protest the community meeting and that they would block people from entering the event. Because, see, the folks in Burns, Oregon are getting kind of pissed off. Because, among other things, at the last community meeting, where people looked Ammonium Bundy straight in the eye and said, "Get out! Go! Leave! You're ruining our community!" Well, the upstanding, God-fearing, Kolob-yearning, Moroni-worshipping freaks brought guns to that community meeting. And they've been bringing guns to community meetings ever since they engaged in their sedition and took over the wildlife refuge. They had their own little conclave of the Clavern there over the weekend. Yeah, the Sharp family, a single mother and 6 of her 10 children, sang the Star-Spangled Banner. We don't know what the other 4 did. And then Jeanette Finnicum, who is the wife of Lavoy Finnicum, who are the 2 foster parents who apparently bailed out on their foster kids down in Arizona and were getting paid north of $110,000 a year to take care of said foster children. Well, she led a prayer. Thoughts and prayers, y'all. Thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. And the women folk there brought their guns. And then they decorated a table with war medals and a military dress uniform and a memorial flag. And then Ammonium Bundy stood there and explained how significant each one was and how his family had got them all in their fight for freedom and the Constitution. Ryan Bundy stood up and said, "We've been here 3 weeks now, and we've been teaching the principles of the Constitution of the United States that exists only in our heads, the supreme law of the land, as we make it up as we go along." And then they unveiled a new Harney County seal that said, "Harney County land, welcome and enjoy a free land by the people." The land is by the people. Maybe next to a creek. But they're going to take that sign out, and they're going to replace the Mahler National Wildlife Refuge sign with "Harney County land, welcome and enjoy a free land by the people." And by enjoy, they mean drill, timber, cut, saw, mine, extract the living bejesus out of it until it's not fit for use by anything alive on planet Earth. Well, yes, Michael just wrote in and said, "I think you mean ammonium nitrate Bundy." Well, nitrate's his middle name. Well, we just call him ammonium. God almighty. In this particular news story from Raw Story, Aaron Gupta writes, they are expanding their territorial claims and daring Washington to respond. And then up stepped Adrian Sewell, age 36, with an IQ to match, who came to Oregon from New Mexico, and he signed a letter that had been notarized that informed the U.S. Solicitor General that he was terminating his contracts with the Bureau of Land Management and National Forest. He was renouncing his grazing contract. He runs 85 head of cattle on 33,000 acres in southwest New Mexico, but he said, "I could run 200 head if I was allowed to give better care of the land." He said he got grazing rights on the federal land by buying 160 acres from an unnamed widow woman whose husband was mysteriously murdered. Sewell pays We the People via the Bureau of Land Management $144 a month for grazing fees. You got that? Meanwhile, it costs the Bureau of Land Management three times as much to administer the program. But then when it came to show his notarized letter to members of the media invited there to, none of the information, nothing was visible except his signature. Because, courage, right? But you heard me mention Joaquin Mariano de Moreira Fulch, who calls himself a God Grace Administrator, and says his powers come from the Magna Carta. Anybody care to read? Anybody read the Magna Carta lately? You know what the Magna Carta's full of? Stuff about the rights Jews don't have. No, really. That vaunted document. It has a stirring historic place in history, but to use it as a grant of authority, not so much. This is the jackass who holds common law grand juries down in Florida. And he intends, according to what went down this weekend, he intends to declare the county officials and the county sheriff, the county judge, two county commissioners, he's going to charge them with crimes against the common law constitution. And then they're going to go remove them from office. That's just this weekend. Yeah. And then this. Then this. This is audio from a video of a real doughy, pasty-faced white dude by the name of Kelly Nightling, that's G-N-E-I-T-L-I-N-G, who wandered, stumbled, and otherwise found his way from Idaho to the bird sanctuary of patriotism. Mm-hmm. And he has somebody turned the video on as he stood there in sumo garb. Am I saying this right, Tim from L.A.? Mawashi, the loincloth that sumo wrestlers wear. Well, you kind of got to hear it to believe it. Let's roll it, Griggsy. He starts out by slapping himself.
Hi, my name is Kelly, and I have a message for my younger brother, Chris. Chris Christie. Governor Christie! How long's it been since you've seen your older brother, Kelly? Yeah, I know Mom gave us both girl names, but I want to see who the real sissy is. Because you got out in front of the cameras the other day, and you talked about how you'd like to see the strong arm of the law disperse these good folks in Oregon. You know what I want to see? I want to see you come over here and disperse me, your older brother, in the dojo. Woohoo, little Christie! Remember we used to call you that all the time? Remember we used to call you little Christie? Hey, remember all those times I'd throw you in the sleeping bag and roll you down the stairs? Good times. I'm talking about you coming over here, and we're going to show these good constitutional folk in Oregon. We'll show all Oregonians and all Americans who the family sumo champ is. Remember all those times we used to tussle in the front room? Man, we'd go all night sometimes, from dusk till dawn. But now we're adults. And, you know, we both have about this pretty much the same body frame. You might be a little bigger. So bring that big old belly over here, and let's slap bellies. I'm talking about 10 bouts. Now, you win one out of those 10. Me and these other good sumo constitutional folk, I'm going to make them sumo wrestlers soon. All these good constitutional folk will disperse. But if I win all 10, I get to roll you down the stairs in that sleeping bag again. Woohoo! Little Chrissy! Going to war on the shore, little Christy and his big brother Kelly. Wearing diapers and slapping bellies just like when we were toddlers. We all know Mom loved me more. But doesn't that make you mad? Don't you want to come over here and get even? I'm talking, man. Get even. Let's go to war for Mom's love and for these constitutional folk. Now, we all remember those times I used to change your diaper. Well, I know you don't, but I do. And I want you to throw a diaper on again, and let's go to war over Mama's love. But most importantly, Mama. Let's go to war over who's right. Let's go to war over the Constitution and for Mama's love. Woo-hoo! Come on, little Chrissy! Whoa!
All right. Now, that, friends and neighbors, was not from The Onion. That wasn't from the Daily Courant or the National Report. One of these constitutional freedomizers really did that. Wants to settle the standoff in battle by sumo combat. That's what all that slapping was. Apparently, he's a sumo aficionado because he's got all the moves down and the breathing. No, I think he just breathes hard. I wonder if he eats snake urine soup. We went looking for the most expensive bowl of soup in the world, and we found it in Japan. Snake urine soup, $10,000 a bowl. Well, maybe he could just get Ammonium Bundy to pee in a jar. Never mind. Oh, by the way, the guy that renounced his grazing contract, only he didn't. And he needs a lot more acres to, and he needs to just control the land so he can run more cattle. You know, we buy more land to raise more corn, to raise more cattle, to buy more land to raise more corn. Anyway, that's from Carl Sandburg. It turns out that, well, he's a spoiled little prick. Carol points out, interesting that here in Missouri, we only need 1.5 to 2 acres for a cow-calf pair for 12 months. My honey doesn't get government welfare. He has to graze those animals on his own land. Why are they grazing cattle in a virtual desert, and it's the government's fault? Common sense says, you're an idiot. Well, but But why would you want to go to the trouble of buying land when you can just suck off the federal teat all the time, complaining about how the government's got its jackbooted boot jack heel right down on your freedom loving patriotic neck, right next to your Confederate flag tattoo and that other tattoo that says only God can judge me. Oh God. Yeah, a couple of notes coming in from Steve in New York. Concessions, because, you know, they want concessions. Steve says, I will concede that they are dumber than my left big toe. I would not disagree. I imagine Steve's got a pretty intelligent left big toe. Steve, meanwhile, has had enough, and he says, I'm declaring myself His Imperial American Britannic Magna Carta Majesty Grand Poobah King Stephen I. Now, I'm the king, right? You most assuredly are. Why don't you get a few people on a hay wane and just go about the village green for a little while, and then, I don't know, indict Donald Trump and exile Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American. Go ahead. It'll be fun. And finally, coming in from up over down under, Robert says, greetings from the world of tomorrow. Wait a minute. World of tomorrow. Australia Day. January 26th. Depending on how you look at it, it's either the day the first fleet containing the worst scum and villainy of Mariolde Engeland, Star Wars reference, arrived at Botany Bay. Botany Bay? Botany Bay. Star Trek reference. Captain, it was terrible. They put things in our ears. To establish civilization on the continent by dumping the overflow from English prisons, or the day the first fleet from England arrived at Botany Bay. Botany Bay. And Europeans began screwing over the native Australians who managed to get here 40,000 years previously by saying the continent was uninhabited and that they could do what they liked. As it's overcast and humid, raining today, I expect many outdoor celebrations will be canceled, celebrations at which Australians will wear hats, T-shirts, pants, swimwear, etc., with the Australian flag on it. A flag that most people can't tell from the New Zealand flag or the British blue ensign, because they all look exactly the same. And just to prove how most Australians don't know what our flag looks like or what it means, one of our two duopoly supermarket chains was found selling an Australia flag that had the Southern Cross on it printed in reverse. It would be a bit like the U.S. flag having vertical stripes and no one noticing. And the truly funny thing is that all these flag souvenirs are made in China, probably by what is effectively slave labor. Yes, check that label. Made in China. Well, that's okay, Robert. I remember when Dim Leader started his filthy little illegal war in the sand, and all the yellow ribbon magnets that warmongers put on the back of their gas-guzzling SUVs, they were all made in China, too. Robert continues, so that's Australia Day. And honestly, we could pick a better date than the arrival of some prison ships from the mother country, a concept still in use until the late 1940s. The only other day Australians actually celebrate is April 25th, Anzac Day. It marks the anniversary of the first major military action fought by Australian and New Zealand forces during the First World War. It was Winston Churchill's idea, attack the Turks to take pressure off British troops in their European trenches. It was a fabulous slaughter, and we eventually had to retreat as there was no way to successfully run uphill into machine guns and survive at the same time. Greetings from the world of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Lots, oh goodness gracious, lots more for this Moran Monday on the way as we take a little break. A minute past the hour, again, we try to raise $200. Every program, and this program is no different. Note coming in from Tim from L.A. Wearing a mawashi? Bob, 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 Bob. Wow, five Bobs. Hey, I don't know, Ron, is that gimmick infringement? There's five of them. No, I think that's gimmick overkill. Tim says, I had to stop listening to that idiot. If a Yokozuna, or Yokozuna, oh, is that better? Yokozuna, grand champion. I'm not making fun, because there's an, you know, we're inclined as readers and speakers of English to emphasize certain syllables, and it don't necessarily work that way. So is it Yokozuna? Were to hear this fat-ass son of a bitch and saw him in their traditional uniform, he would pick up that fat blob of shit and slam him on the ground and pound the hell out of him, strip him of the garb and display him to the public, shaming him. It's like an atheist wearing a priest garb, or in Captain Moroni's case, me wearing moron magic underwear. Not only are they morons, but they're racist, too. I'm shaking my goddamn head. Well, you know, I mean, everybody else's culture exists solely to be appropriated by privileged white people. Right, absolutely. Now, that's not to say, I mean, there was a very famous Yokozuna who was actually an American and became very, very successful at it. But that's a matter of embracing and not appropriating the culture. What would we call this? He was donning Japanese face. Yeah. Let's see. After he had been displayed to the public and shamed, would not he be obliged to then go and end his life? This Kelly Gnightling? Ooh, it could have a happy ending. Yes. So we've got that. I mean, and that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Because there is more. But we'll take a break, and I will remind you of the phone line numbers. 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676. That's the stress line, and that gets you through the program, and it's named in honor of the gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. Of course, if you want to reach the program via Skype, you are welcome to do that as well. There's no area code. There's no number. It is simply Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, BobKincaidHorn on the Skype. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. We'll be back. I'm Bob. Feed up!
Just another missing link in an endless chain, filling up the empty space left by one who's gone. Freedom's child was born today, singing freedom's song. Gun in hand, volunteered to fight and die in a foreign land. Just another minor chord in a worn out song. Freedom's child. We'll be right back. hidden in the sparrow's eye when it's on the wing. Planning on a lonely hill with his name unknown. Freedom's child was laid to rest, singing freedom songs. At the breaking of the dawn, day is born again. Just another missing link in an endless chain. Filling up the empty space left by one who's gone.
I love that song. I really, really do. 8 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, Moran Monday for the 25th of January, 2016. And Ron in the far frozen north agreed. Great music. Finally free of the most immediate earthly obligations, so I'm listening. Glad to have you aboard, Ron. Ron was engaged in home improvements over the weekend. You're a better man than I am, truly. So, where to go with all, well, with 17 different directions, and I just want to try to make some degree of sense out of it. Yeah, let's go have a look at, because we've already mentioned him in the program, and it is Moran Monday. And he's certainly always in the running. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American, has apparently been, what's the word I'm looking for here? No, dang it. You got to stop the music, Bob. Looking for a word.
You dick!
Yes, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz has apparently been one of those for a very, very long time. This is Rafaelito at the tender age of 18. And apparently he has been... what?
You dick!
His entire life... This is him at the age of 18, recorded in 1988 for Second Baptist High School. Second. Hang out for the best, son. Hang out for the best. Down in Houston, Texas, Stan. He's been an annoying jerk, apparently, from the moment he emerged from the womb up in Canada.
What I want to do in life. Well, my aspiration is to, be in a teen tit film like that guy who played Horatio. You know, he was in Malibu Bikini Beach Shop. Well, other than that, take over the world. World domination, you know, rule everything. Rich, powerful, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's young Rafaelito. Well, he is, and he's surrounded himself with people who are equally jerky. Hey, look, it's State Representative Graham Hunt, a repig-licking from Orting, Washington State. You may recall State Representative Graham Hunt as being one of the people who went down to break bread and rub shoulders and declare common cause with the freedomizing patriots at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Yes, that guy, Graham Hunt. Well, he is chairman of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. He's chairman of that campaign in Washington State. I mean, he's not the subaltern or the desk clerk. He's the chairman. And you know why representing Graham Hunt is the chairman? Because he's a sure enough war hero. He's bona fide. Yeah, only he ain't. He got elected in 2014 to his Senate seat or to his representing seat because he was appointed to the task the year before. And in his official and campaign biographies, he listed himself as being the recipient of 3 military medals. Mm-hmm. No, Carol Baker, he is no relation whatsoever to Mike Hunt. Wait a minute. Damn it. Next thing you know, you're going to ask me if I've got Prince Albert in a can. I should learn. It's only been more than 11 years that there's any relation to Mike Hunt. But those three military honors, well, there's a problem. The Military Personnel Center has no record of Graham Hunt ever receiving any kind of honor from the military. Now, in the course of the Seattle Times trying to drill down into this story, a spokeswoman for the Military Personnel Center said, now, it is true that sometimes our records are incomplete, but I don't think they were, because it turns out that hero, patriot, patriot sympathizer Graham Hunt, chairman of the Rafael Ted Cruz campaign in Washington State, he's been logging into websites and sort of erasing and disappearing some of the fraudulent, bogus bullshit things that he has said about his military service record, various online biographies and so forth. And he only started doing it when reporters started asking him about those medals. Among other things, he claims he was wounded in combat. Yeah. But he says he can't remember where. He knows he was knocked down by some explosions, but he can't remember where he was knocked down by those explosions, and he can't remember which units he deployed with to Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, they do say that the signature injury coming out of those wars was traumatic brain injury, but really, you can remember everything except what units you were in? None of them? Not even one. Huh. Son of a gun. Because, see, I know for a fact that we've got a number of veterans in the Horn Family Community Congregation, most of whom can probably tell you what unit they were in, be it Navy, Air Force, Marines, U.S. Army, Coast Guard, Civil Air Patrol. I mean, but he can't. This right-wing goon can't. last year, he put a post up on Facebook. You're going to love this. I don't know if he's listening, but I think the Angry Indian and I have talked about this from time to time. These right-wing posers who somehow try to derive a sense of worth on the planet by dummying up a military history in order to seem, I don't know, more butch with the authoritarians of the right wing. The Associated Press apparently interviewed Graham Hunt's next-door neighbor, Mike Latouris. Damn it, Carol! Quit that. Oh, no, he lives next to Mike Hunt, yes. No, Carol, my refrigerator is not running. No, but in 2015, Graham Hunt, patriot, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, hoo-ah! He put up a post in 2015 on Facebook that, and it was you know, just really one of those soul-searing photographs that showed one soldier consoling another one. And it was captioned saying it was Graham Hunt after a 2005 mortar attack, adding in all caps. Wait a minute, let me back up so I can yell. Because it's in all caps. When it's all caps, you have to yell. Knows the sacrifice, still fighting for our country. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, under God. Amen. Hallelujah. In God we trust. Yeah. And the post went on. I think combat camera have captured the moment pretty well. I surely have not forgotten that moment, except, of course, that he did forget the moment because he can't remember what unit he was in, except for the fact that he can't forget the moment because the moment never happened. It was a dummied-up photograph. It was an Associated Press photo from 2003, and it was two soldiers from Ohio. But somebody photoshopped their U.S. Army insignias, one of them, and replaced it with an Air Force Staff Sergeant patch. God damn, these are some sleazy bastards. He has, among other things, eliminated reference to himself online as a combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. And now his bio says, served in the Air Force for nearly 10 years, tours of duty in several countries, including multiple tours to the Middle East. I've had several military honors, including the Air Force Achievement Medal. And when he got called on it, he said, honestly, I don't even care to list any honors or awards I've received, because frankly, I don't think they're that important to the public in the first place, after he scrubbed his bio. This is, by the way, the same Graham Hunt who had a hissy last week because he's all upset about the potty. Yeah, he's one of those people. He's the one who is pushing the bill in Washington State that we discussed on this program, in which he said, I've tried to make this about the genitalia. If you don't have the parts, if you don't have the plumbing, then you don't go in. Mm-hmm. Here's his wartime experience. He was a security guard at Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia, and he searched vehicles and local workers, quote, in extreme heat and austere conditions. That's Saudi Arabia. It means you couldn't get a beer. When the Seattle Times asked him for a waiver so that they could try to get a better look at his military records. No. My assertions of my patriotism should be enough for you. And by the way, you get the achievement medal, according to Ron up in the frozen north. Where I'll bet, well, I don't know. Do you have as much snow as we got this weekend, Ron? I don't know. But no, up in the frozen north, Ron says, you get the achievement medal by having a pulse and showing up for muster. Does that mean Dim Leader never got an achievement medal because he didn't show up? Well. The Seattle Times asked him again and about his medals and his records, and I think my paperwork about my combat service and my wounds and medals, I think it might be lost, or I misplaced it at a relative's house, or the dog ate it. But I know where I was. I know what I did. I don't need it validated. Well, see, that's the thing, dumbass. Nobody's trying to validate it. We're trying to find out if you're a goddamn liar. And it looks like you probably are. But that's another member of the Cruz campaign for you. But then there's Rafaelito himself. Out on the hustings, as reported by the Washington Post, at a stop in Charles City, Iowa, as his bus swung through, and he stopped and delivered some inspiring remarks in a coffee house. And he said that in that little get-together, he said, when my 5-year-old daughter Catherine tells a lie, she gets a spanking. And then said, that he wants to get the hockey puck. I mean, there's no audio. Well, I mean, a little bit, kind of. Get the hockey puck, and get the third eye bleach, or the rot gut liquor, or whatever. But in Charles City, Iowa, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, declared that he wants to give Hillary Clinton a spanking. Oh, hell. I'm not going to be okay after that. Man, I'm you know, what two consenting adults do behind closed doors of their own free will ain't none of my business, okay? But you don't have to gross us all out, Rafaelito, and put it out on the street, buddy. You want to give Hillary Clinton a spanking. Here's the question. From a woman whose brain has long since devolved into a sort of thin, gray, semi-gelatinous goop sloshing around between her ears and providing an insulator for her great big amygdala lizard brain. She said, for 3.5 years, people in Washington have been skirting around Benghazi and no one's been held accountable. I want to know what you would do. Someone needs to pay. Made up pieces. Ma'am, you are exactly right. What happened in Benghazi is a national disgrace. 4 Americans were murdered. We lost the first ambassador in the line of duty since the Carter administration. The immediate response of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the entire administration was to engage in deception, obstruction, and cover-up. They began by falsely blaming it on some ridiculous internet video, but even before that was the question that everyone should ask is, why was security not there in the first place when the ambassador said over and over again, keep us safe? We do know Hillary told her daughter Chelsea, well, gosh, I knew it was a terrorist attack while we were out telling the American people it wasn't. You know, I'll tell you, in my house, if my daughter Catherine, the 5-year-old, says something she knows to be false, she gets a spanking. Well, in America, the voters have a way of administering a spanking. A spanking. Yeah. You're a weird one, Mr. Cruz. You really are a freak. Yeah, he's pretty twisted, huh? But at least there's a laugh line.
She must pay the penalty. And here in Castle Anthrax, we have but one punishment for setting alight the Grailshade beacon. You must tie her down on a bed and spank her.
Spank!
You must spank her well, and after you have spanked her, you may deal with her as you like. And then, spank me.
And spank me?
And me?
And me?
Yes, yes, you must give us all a good spank. After the spanking, the oral sex.
And I don't even want to think about the insides of Raphaelito's mind. But yes, he's a stern believer in beating his children. I wonder if maybe we should investigate. And you know what? God damn these Republicans. From Rick Sanctum Santorum, Bro Fro Mix, Fetus Fondling, and now we got Raphaelito getting off on whacking his kid. Jesus. And then there's this. Oh, God, there's this.
And you're trying to think, how do I run? Well, you can't run on the economy. Because we have the lowest percentage of Americans working than any year since 1977. You can't run on Obamacare. Because millions of people have lost their jobs, lost their health care, lost their doctors, seen their premiums skyrocket. You certainly can't run on foreign policy. Because every country you touched as Secretary of State is a disaster. So what do? You go, aha! The condom police. I'm going to make up a completely made-up threat and try to scare a bunch of folks that are not paying a lot of attention into thinking someone's going to steal their birth control. What nonsense. How do we win? We speak the truth, and we do it with a smile, and it drives the Democrats crazy.
There are a lot.
Clap, you idiots. Clap. The condom police. But, you know, isn't it interesting? They talk of the economy's in a shambles, and yet in the last, yeah, and you know, we didn't get what we wanted. We're progressives. We're not powering the economy on sparkly unicorn farts. No, but considering where we were after the Republicans crashed it last time to where we are now, we're rebounding, sort of okay-ish. In the last couple of months, employers have even actually started paying more money to their workers. No kidding. The assault on women's reproductive care, however, is very, very real. And more on that in a moment. Um, Up there in Canada, they're about to have their rights trampled. The recently elected government has promised that in fairly short order, it will abolish the legal right of children to hit and beat on their children. Progress. Well, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, needs to stop hitting his children. According to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, although corporal punishment may have a high rate of immediate behavior modification, it is ineffective over time and is associated with increased aggression and decreased moral internalization of appropriate behavior. The National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, NAPNA, has said corporal punishment is an important risk factor for children developing a pattern of impulsive and antisocial behavior. Children who experience frequent corporal punishment are more likely to engage in violent behaviors in adulthood. Dr. Catherine A. Taylor at Tulane University has said even minor forms of corporal punishment, such as spanking, increase the risk for increased child aggressive behavior. So maybe you might want to spare the belt there, Rafaelito. Just maybe. Up in the frozen north, Ron points out Teddy's observation about spanking just brings to light that he is so sexually depraved that he is fantasizing about a senior citizen in a pantsuit with prematurely grizzled blonde hair. That whole being John Malkovich thing where you can get inside somebody, can you imagine being trapped inside the mind of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz? Would you be rendered psychotic in seconds? Carol says, hey, you know how Rafaelito gets his freak on? He has Heidi get on top and recite all the great speeches of Joseph McCarthy in the original German. And speaking of which, wasn't it T. Rump's ex-wife who said that he keeps a copy of You-Know-Who's speeches by his bed? You know, just for a little light reading at bedtime? Haben Sie gehört, haben geworden sein! Yeah, I didn't say it. Nah, it ain't going to be that easy tonight, Gerald. No. On and on and on. These Moran Mondays can be a bit of a challenge. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In regard to the representing Graham Hunt, who knows he was there, he just can't remember. Jim points out that military personnel center says they do not make mistakes. This guy, as a whole, is a liar. Signed, Jim Mike Hunt. You people. Now, I know a little bit about the personnel center because it's not so much mistakes that they make, it's stuff that's been lost. It's been an ongoing inquiry of mine to find out the as near the exact circumstances of my uncle's death during the Second World War. We have his Purple Heart. And beyond that, all we have is anecdotal stuff that was sort of remembered down and passed along. And there was a terrible, 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 awful, really bad, heartbreaking fire at that center in St. Louis back in the 70s. And a lot of military records, especially from the Second World War and from Korea, were lost. And apparently, my uncles were among them. He was, what we know is that he apparently died of sepsis. He had a treatable wound. I was told as a kid it was a shrapnel wound in his leg, and that sepsis set in, and he died. This would be in November of 1944, and the miracle drug penicillin was available, but what I was able to gather was that the units where he was fighting didn't have any because it had all been diverted, because it was still, I guess, fairly hard to produce. All the penicillin had been diverted to the eastward push of the armies moving across northern Europe from Normandy. Just a little bit of trivia. Hey, let's run over to line one. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Tracy. How in the world are you?
Well, I don't know now. I've been listening to your audio and just stuff, and I've been rendered speechless. How about that?
Imagine being me and having to close the mic at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, and just, well, okay, that's over. We'll just tuck the craziness away for another day. At least you can sit there and quietly scream in your cab. I mean, not a bad affair, but...
It is incomprehensible.
Yeah, it's dandy, isn't it?
Was that really Chris Christie's brother? Yeah, y'all playing with me, right?
No, that was not Chris Christie's brother. That was a guy named Gary Nightling from Idaho.
Oh, God. So you just call him brother. Oh, God.
Yeah, because they're really big and pale and white and, you know,
and he had a morbidly obese. Did you actually have video or did you just have the audio?
No. My eyes are not okay. I had video.
I'm sorry. I am so terribly sorry for you. Oh, that must be, oh God. just listening, just the idiocy and the gobbledygook he was speaking, and he thought he was actually making sense. I think that's what frightens me the most. They speak and they are so delusional that they think that, yeah, this sounds good. I'm going to keep talking because people are saying, but it's not so much the people speaking. It's the people listening. I think they scare me more. It's the people buying garbage.
And how dumb do you have to be? How misguided? How pathetically ill-educated?
Well, when I watch the news, you know how they always have a leading story about somebody that attacked some person, and I'm sitting there going, please don't let them, you know, anybody that's black or Hispanic will sit there, because they never tell you, you got to wait for all the commercials and the sponsors to do their spiel, and then they'll tell you what happened, and you're like, please don't want to be black, or please don't want to be Hispanic, right?
Right.
And now now you know how we feel. They're embarrassing white people.
Tracy, there's so many. There's just so many.
And it's like, especially when they're from your neck of the woods, because now you're going, now this is what they think about all of us. And that's what black and his. That welcome to my world.
Right, and well, exactly. I mean, I feel America. Here, wait. I know we're on your nickel right now, but Tracy, let me take care of this.
No.
America, as a white guy, I would like to personally apologize for the execrable conduct of all the white people out in the bird sanctuary. We're not all like that, but far too many of us are. And you can blame it on our lack of education. And, well, I mean, you know, sometimes white people are just that way. Is that, how's that?
That's so good. I like that. I think, you know, I accept on behalf, because, you know, because I speak for all black folks.
Yeah, yes, you are. You are.
Black,
yes.
American.
Yeah, you are. You are. You
and all things black.
Yeah, you and a few others are the official Black America liaisons to the horn. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So on behalf of, and I take the responsibility seriously, and I do accept your apology, because as I'm sitting here, I was laughing, trying hard, because if you don't stop, if you stop laughing, then you start to cry, because you realize just how serious this shit is. I have now politicized my wife, because she's lost her nut over Trump and Cruz and all that. But when she really lost it, I had kind of calmed her down, like, baby, it's okay. You know, one political crazy person in the house is enough. I'm just glad you're aware, you know, because you know. And she's like, yes. But then when, old girl, I cannot think of her name. Oh, yeah. Let's say, Godzilla from Mozilla.
Mussolini.
When she endorsed Donald Trump, I just said, wowzers. Absolutely. It's the world. What is that song? It's the end of the world as we know it.
And I feel, no, I don't feel fine.
I don't feel fine.
And you know, T-Rump was trying to use that in some of his rallies, and Michael Stipe stood up, you know, from REM and
said,
quit playing that. You don't get to use our music. You're an asshole. Right.
It's like, no. It's just listening. They have, every so often, like, I did actually try to watch the debate, but my brain, because I have critical logical thinking and thought. So I just couldn't do it because I'm in school and I only have so many brain cells left. Okay. So I have to be very careful with them. But when I listen to them and just the lie, one after the other, and the worst part about it, people call them on the lie, and well, it's the liberal media. They're just, you know, they don't want our people. I'm like, no, what's the truth? Like the idiots that you were talking about, who was this that was lying about their service to the country?
It's a long list. I mean, it includes John Ritzheimer, who's out in Oregon, and Blaine Cooper, which isn't his real name. And then, of course, there's this guy representing Graham Hunt from Washington.
First of all, anybody, Blaine?
Well, it's not really his name.
Of course it's. Because, I mean, does he have enough money to be named Blaine? Because you have to have a certain amount of money for a man to be named Blaine. His name to be Blaine. I'm sorry, you have to have Kennedy money.
You mean like trips and trays and?
Right. There has to be a certain amount of money behind that name. You just can't go around being named Blaine. You better have some money behind that name. But it's not a crime. I remember I was watching something on my favorite channel, the Murder, Death, Kill channel, better known as the Investigative Discovery channel.
Yes.
That is my favorite channel. Because you know what I call it? White People Gone Wild. I love that channel. I mean, every so often they bring in the black folks that do stupid shit. But mostly,
it's
White People Gone Wild. And
well, that's like, you know, the best episodes of Cops were always the ones where the drunk white dude was out there in his sleeveless T-shirt saying, I don't know what she's mad about. I just called her a whore was all and slapped her around a little bit. What are you putting cuffs on me for?
What's the problem? Well, I don't remember the circumstance. I know he wound up killing or trying to kill a wife. But this guy was, you know, going around, you know, pretending to be a war hero and all this and had fake, you know, had the medals and all that. Oh, no. And he was actually teaching classes on martial arts and all this stuff. Yeah, they caught him and arrested him for, you know, impersonating a soldier or something like that. Because isn't that like right up there with impersonating a police officer? You just don't do it.
Hey, no, it's there's laws and stuff, but of course,
right.
let's remember there are apparently no federal laws that are in effect at the Malheur bird sanctuary. Those were all nullified by the Patriots, you know, Vanilla ISIS.
Oh, I forget. Oh, wow. I wish I be queen of America.
I would go for Empress. You know why?
No, I got it better. The Grand Negress.
Ooh. Grand Exalted. High Grand Exalted, Noble, Serene, Gracious.
Good. Grand Negress. Yes. Yes. Of America.
Of America.
Of America, because see, and then like you were saying about, you know, I would treason, sedition. Well, actually, I would just go off with their head. I could do that.
You do that really well, Tracy. Say that again.
Off with their head.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I would.
You know what? It's you've got the regal bearing about you to be able. Yes. You have my support.
No trial. No. I would have my own lynch mob. I'd be like, you know what?
you may recall that Steve declared himself the king of King Stephen I of Merca. He says,
yeah.
Yes, Tracy can be my high, grand, exalted, yada, yada, yada. Absolutely.
Right. Because I am in charge of all things. And I would also, with the subtitle, the Great White Corrector.
Ooh, wait. Let's see. Corrector. Yeah. How about corrector of the pale?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And since you went to law school, you could help me write the laws and stuff that would make it sound really.
Oh
official.
No, we'll just throw some Latin around and
like I said,
we'll just
I
go
mean,
to Google Latin
official.
And see what comes out.
Right, and it would be pig Latin. And so we would just go around, you and you and you. That's cruel.
Dadgummit, Tracy, you've been practicing.
No, I have not. I just watch a lot of English.
Just comes natural?
It's me and myself.
Now, wait, now hold on. Have you and Jan been binge watching Downton Abbey?
How I say that one more time?
Have you and Jan been binge watching Downton Abbey?
No, actually, no. She would not watch it. Actually, I have to confess. I had a down weekend, and I just wasn't feeling like leaving the house. And I turned on the old Netflix, and I did watch the first two seasons of NCIS. Don't judge me. Don't judge.
TV thing. Two things that might interest you. Tomorrow, I believe. They're both on tomorrow, so you're going to have to work it out somehow with the TiVo or whatever.
I got two DVRs, so I'm good.
Okay, so you're going to set them both. Tomorrow evening, two programs well worth watching. And this is not just for Tracy. This is for everybody. One, and Carol reminded me of this, on The American Experience on PBS.
Ooh, I love The American Experience. What is it about this time?
The Mine Wars.
Mine?
M-I-N-E.
Oh.
No. It's not people with white face paint screaming at each other, silently. No, the Mine Wars. It's the early 20th century, late 19th, early 20th century in West Virginia, and it is the Mine Wars. It's the wars that were waged. It was the largest civil uprising in the United States outside of the Civil War.
Is that the one, like, where we're talking, the John Sayles movie?
Yes, Matewan. Yes.
Matewan. That is such an outstanding movie.
Oh, it is. And this is the real history behind it. This is the real history behind it. So look it up, find out where it is, set your TiVo for that. Then, since you've got two, you want to set your TiVo for the WGN network.
I'm mad because I don't think on my cable on Time Warner, I don't think we get WGN, which annoys the hell out of me because I've seen they have some good shows. What's the name of it? I'll just have my son will find it for me and download it.
Okay, you remember how you turned me on to that that hillbilly cop drama in Kentucky?
Yes, Justified.
Yeah, Justified years ago. Well, this is not that. This is a show called Outsiders.
Oh, I've heard of it.
And it's about a remote clan of Appalachian people who live on top of a mountain and have lived there for hundreds of years in isolation. And a coal company wants to come and blow up their mountain and move them away.
And they
ain't having none of it.
I was so hurt. I mean, Justified was such a great show, and it ended last year with this last season, and it was just like I was just devastated. As a matter of fact, there's certain things that because Jan doesn't, you know, she actually watched a couple episodes with me once, and she's like, "Baby, this is a good show," and I'm like, "I know."
Well,
I mean,
the premiere episode of Outsiders airs tomorrow night on WGN.
I'm going to look for it. I could probably, because I know Alex, I tell him what I want to watch, and somehow he finds it for me, and he puts it on. He has all these movies and stuff that I've asked him to find for me, and TV shows, and I bet you, because that sounds like something he would watch, because and I got to turn him on to Matewan. Because John Sayles is a genius. I don't think there's been any of his movies that he's made that I didn't like. He hasn't made a movie in a while, has he? Now that I come to think of it.
Oh, have you? Oh, speaking of John Sayles, have you ever seen Brother from Another Planet?
That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Steve in New York and I have been going back and forth. Because Steve's a real lawyer, and we've been going back on terminology. You will be the correctrix of the pale.
Ooh. Oh, that's almost like a dominatrix. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, if it only was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only if only. I mean, because like I said.
Man, that's almost tattoo worthy. And we can we can come up with a whole
That's a graphic novel in the making.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can come up with a seal and a crest and
a coat of arms. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
It would be when I listen to these people and like when you were going on about the New York Times article, cuz see, yesterday I was so busy I had had to drive my kids that drive around. He had a game up in Goleta. He listening to me going, where the hell is Goleta? Goleta is just outside of Santa Barbara. So it's right up the central coast of California. And so yesterday, on our way back, I decided to take the coast road down. So I totally forgot about the football game yesterday. The only thing I was hoping, because I was just praying that the Patriots didn't win because they're cheaters, and I don't like cheaters, but we have enough cheaters as is. I really don't need them in baseball, football.
Okay, so you've officially pissed off the New England contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
I love y'all, and it's not you. It's your quarterback, and y'all know. Come on now. So, but I'm glad the Broncos, it's the Broncos and Carolina, yes?
Yes. And yes, the guy writing the story for the New York Times talked about Cam Newton's shiny white teeth.
Did he call him snowflake?
No. And somehow he described him as grating instead of uppity.
Yeah, I had a conversation a while ago with Jan about that word. Because she said uppity one day, and I got that.
That must have been a delight.
She wasn't referring to me, but she was using it. I forget the context, but I know it has to do with somebody black. And that was in our first, in our first few months of dating. And she said the word uppity, and she saw this look on my face that she now knows as, oh my God, what have I done? Run and go buy flowers, kids at whatever she has to do to make me happy look. And I explained to her about that word. And she left it alone. Whenever she heard hear somebody says that word, first, she's like, no. But see, these are the things. When there's certain people like my wife, and will admit, bigot. I mean, like Archie Bunker bigot. I'm proud of being a bigot, right? And then she fell in love with me. And I will not tolerate a bigot. I will not love a bigot. I will love you from a distance. I will not love you from in my, you will not be in my life. I will do that Christian agape stuff that we're supposed to do because I'm a Christian love. I won't have a relationship with you.
Yeah, it's all about the agape and not about the eros.
Right, exactly. There will be no eros if you use words like uppity in my presence. That ain't gonna happen, huh? So, now she finds herself calling people on their stuff. And this is those things that I try to educate my wife to Patreon. And that I can jump up and down until I'm blue in the face and scream and holler, but it will take a lot of time for me to be blue because I'm really dark. Racism won't go away until people that look like you, not that it will ever go away, but it won't be addressed until people who look like you start addressing it and calling people off.
Well, and I mean, that's why I try to do what I do, to the extent that I do anything here.
Well, and this is why, my friend. Because, when I have a friend that's no longer a friend because she says something that stopped acting so color, and I refer and I ask her what color would that be? So,
and
she didn't, because she didn't understand why I was. And see, there's that level of white privilege that I can only handle. I will give you that, okay. You never had to deal with it. You didn't have a lot of black people in your life or what have you. And then when I explain to you why you shouldn't speak to me that way or to any black person that way, and then you continue, you just double down on it. Okay, I'm done. I no longer choose to be in your presence.
Goodbye for a while now.
Yeah, I can't, because I can't afford to go to jail. Can't catch a case. Because, see, if I hurt a white person, I'm doing real jail. Is that orange? No. So, I
it's not orange. It's not orange is the new Tracy.
No. I know what that jail looks like. And you know what? Not so much that I want to do this again. So, there's a certain thing that I will not do. And this very, I'm learning not to waste my energy on people. It was It would be like me trying to have a civil conversation with Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Rick Perry or Carly Fiorina or any of these people who, if this, they wouldn't know the truth if it came up and backhanded them upside the head. They'd be like, wait, who's that? Well, it's the truth. Well, I don't know you. Why are you slapping me? So what is he going on? Was that which idiot was that? That was going on about the condom police.
That's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz.
Okay, so I love what he was talking about. How every country that she touched has, you know, gone asunder, and then the whole the Benghazi thing. What trickles was that, you know, and it's a horrible loss of life, and I can't imagine what those people's families have went through and are still going through for the loss of a loved one. But 9/11?
Yeah, right.
That's all I have to say.
Hey, I've got an entirely tangential question, but it's one of those geography moments that we can't just leave hanging.
Okay.
Carol wants to know, you mentioned Goleta a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Carol said, is that where you can smell the garlic everywhere?
No, it is Central California, but it's inland. I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name of it. Google it. I know what you're talking about, the garlic festival, because as a matter of fact, a friend of mine, it was hilarious because I had to do a phone conference while I was driving back, and I said I was on my way back from Goleta. And said, isn't that where all the garlic is? I'm like, right central part of California, but that's inland. That's like Fresno, Modesto, over in there. And I swear every year I'm going to do it, and I have yet. So I think it's in July around my birthday, which this year will be my... Isn't it cool that my 50th birthday is the same year that the Super Bowl turns 50? How awesome. Yes.
That's neat.
That is so neat. I was looking at T-shirts the other day, and it says Vintage 66 with a still with original parts.
Gilroy. Gilroy.
Gilroy. There it is.
There
I
we
knew
go.
It was the
T. Thank you to O Pipe Down on Twitter for that.
Yeah, because I knew it was a G, and it is Central California, but it's, you know, inland. And every year, I have driven through Gilroy. You drive, if you take the 5 North, you drive through Gilroy
Do you take the 405 or the 110 or the 622?
Take the 5 straight up, and it's all the way.
Oh, yeah, okay,
to
take
San
the 5,
Francisco.
Okay, yeah.
You take the 5 straight up. I mean, actually, the 405, depending on where you are, the 405 does at two spots. You know, and for those who are going, why? So the 405, there's two spots where the 405 intersects with the 5. When you're coming from Northern California or Bakersfield, the 5 does turn into the 405. Well, it's split. And then the 5 goes inland, and the 405 goes closer to the coast. And then as you're going further south on the 405, as you're getting out of Orange County into San Diego, it turns back into the 5. So there's this one part of the 405. I don't know how many miles it is, but it's like,
you know,
whatever mileage.
I think that's the thing that the rest of America wants to know.
Why do I say that?
Yeah, why does it get an article in front of it?
Honey, that's the question. I need to go ask the Sphinx about that question, because I don't know, because I've noticed that when I'm watching news and traffic in other parts of the country, I think California, I think we're the only ones that does that, because like the 5, there is a 405 freeway up in, I believe, Washington. They don't say the 405, they say 405.
Yeah.
But now, is there any freeway or highway that's now infamous or famous that people have named? Like, what is that, the drug run? Is it the I-80? Or what?
81? 81?
The one that goes from like Miami up to wherever, Florida, all the way up.
Well, and then there was, for many years, a generation ago, there was a highway that led out of Appalachia and went up north to the industrial areas of Ohio and Michigan, and that was known as the Hillbilly Highway.
Route 23. Yeah, you know, I've heard that, and even with my mom, you know, moved down to North Carolina, and my brother's in Atlanta, in Georgia, and they don't say, and all that when it comes to the highways out there. But it's weird. I do not know why. And it's just a California thing.
Well, I mean, I have a theory, Tracy.
Oh, what's the theory? Come on with it. Because we live so much in our cars, so we have to make our freeways more important than anything?
No. I think it's linguistic. And I'm just, this is pure, this is pure rank speculation. But you don't use articles like that in English quite so much, but because of the influence of Spanish in Southern California.
Right. Now that makes sense.
That maybe, like, you know, maybe La or L. Yeah, maybe that comes out of the Hispanic community and made the transition over into the English speaking community.
You know what?
And you know, I don't mean any bigotry out of that or anything like that.
No, because I love it when I turn on my Google Maps or Waze or anything, and you get some voice that's obviously probably from the Midwest, and they try to pronounce the streets out here. It would be like me trying to pronounce the Indian names out, you know, out there. And it's like one of the favorite ones, the street is La Cienega.
Yeah,
because you know
La Cienega.
La Cienega. It's LA then CINGA. La Cienega. And when you put it in Google,
learning those little trivia bits is always fun. I mean, there's all kinds of it's always enjoyable when we have national media come to West Virginia, to Charleston, this sleepy little city this sleepy little river town.
And how is it pronounced?
Kanawha. K-A-N-A-W-H-A, Kanawha.
There is no way. Well, I still have trouble saying Appalachia.
Well, that's a whole different bar fight, Tracy. It's if you get up like up, you know, you cross the line into Pennsylvania and northward, it's Appalachia.
See,
but down here we're Appalachians.
Okay, see, I think that's what the problem was. And thank you. So it's one of those, it depends on where
you want a weird wrinkle? I'll give you a weird wrinkle. My grandmother, born in 1894. Pronounced it Appalachian.
Oh, God. Appalachian.
Appalachian.
Okay.
Sort that out.
So now it's okay. So when you refer to people from that neck of the from that region, how are they referred to?
Well, we say Appalachian.
Appalachian.
The four-lane highway not too far from me is Appalachian Corridor L, because once upon a time there was an Appalachian Corridor system that was envisioned, a series of four-lane highways that would be a little like interstates, but not really, but that were designed to open up this region to commerce and travel.
Which never happened.
Oh, it did happen, because... Well, if you go to my Facebook feed,
okay,
you'll see some grainy photographs from a couple of nights ago, Tracy.
Oh, okay.
And they were screen grabs that I made from the live cam that watches the new River Gorge Bridge. And the new River Gorge Bridge is this 876 feet above the New River Gorge, 1.1 or 1.2 mile span that goes from mountaintop to mountaintop and is an engineering marvel and part of Appalachian Corridor L.
Okay. Okay. So when Jad and I go from Georgia up to North Carolina, up to Cherokee, North Carolina, we were on the Appalachian Trail, yes?
You might have.
No, I saw the sign. It was awesome.
Oh, okay.
It was so, I think now,
if you ever want probably the most beautiful drive in this entire region, you go over into Virginia and you drive the Blue Ridge Skyline Drive.
That's what Jad and I, you know, once, now that I'm into school, which is good, I've decided that it's going to take me longer. Because I realize that I cannot go to school full time and do it right. So I have to go to school part time. I don't know if I have a learning disability or what, but it's so crazy because I do so well doing part-time, right? And then I get to that, oh, well, if I didn't go part-time, I could do well full-time, right? And not so. And I know it's that bipolar thing, you know, we take on so much and that thing, and we're like, oh, we're good. And then, yeah, all hell breaks loose. So I thought I was going to be graduating in June, but I'm not. Whatever. As long as it gets done, it doesn't matter when I graduate. But Jen and I are going to start doing our road trips again. And I'll never forget that trip that we took up and we're driving the Appalachian Trail. And I didn't realize it until I saw the sign. And it was snowing. And it wasn't snowing that bad. But it was just, you know, I've never driven in the snow, but I drive, so I was fine. But I got, for all those years that I had been listening to you, and I understood, because, you know, you talk about how beautiful it is up there and how, what the mountaintop removal, what they're doing to your part of this world, it's heartbreaking. And then I saw what you're talking about, even though it wasn't exactly where you live, but still it was part of that trail. And it was just so god-awful beautiful. We pulled over, and it had just kind of started snowing, so it was like a dusting of snow. And there was I wouldn't say a river, but there was kind of a stream, kind of a river. And it was just so calming. And it was, you know, hitting on the rocks and the snow and all that. And I'm just sitting there and I kind of started to cry because it hit me. It hit me at that moment, what you have been talking about all these years. And I'm like, because it doesn't until you see it. Until you're actually there, it's like, you know, people can talk about the Grand Canyon all day long, but until you actually see that bitch, it's like, what? So when I saw it, and Jan's like, why are you tearing up? I'm like, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand because she doesn't, she wouldn't have gotten
that's,
the context.
That's where you get to look at her and say, it's a hillbilly thing.
Yeah, I said it, you know, and she's like, oh, is that crazy? This is her. Is that crazy ass job radio show that you listen to that you get on? I'm like, yes. Yes, it
wait,
is.
Wait, she said, Jan okay. called me a crazy ass nut job?
Yeah. Well, no, the show. She's not you personally.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I mean,
no,
I am, but no. I mean, I've just never been referred to that way.
No.
I mean, I own it. I'll own it. I will.
Yeah, like I own a lot of things, but when I, you know, and it hit me like when they say it hits you like a ton of bricks, it hit me. And I'm like, I'll be damned. This is what Bob has been talking about. This is what he's been working so hard to save. And I'm like, and so where does the Appalachian Trail, as far as the south part of it, and how far north does it go?
Well, I mean, there's the highway, but then there's the actual Appalachian Trail, which is a hiking trail that goes from Maine to Georgia.
Okay. And like I said, we left my brother's house in Atlanta, and we just got on the highway and drove because I had to go and see the Harrah's Casino. so good. I had to go see and so this is one of those things when you look at it and you open up the map and you look at it, and it's like, oh, it doesn't look that far away because it's on the map. It doesn't look like it, you know, but you don't realize that you're actually going into the mountains. Yeah, that was fun. Especially
and it's a different kind of mountains. It's not, It's not the peaky, glaciated, snow-capped majesty of the mountains out west. Not by a long shot. It's not.
No.
You know, it's not like when you're going across Montana and it takes 2 days to get to the mountains that you saw 3 days ago.
Right. And so but the funny part, and I hopefully actually find it on YouTube. I uploaded a video. I think it's called Jan and Tracy's Excellent Adventure or something. And I'm cussing her out because she wasn't listening to me as we were coming down the mountain, and she went a different way. And didn't really start to smell. Well, again, relative to me, because I live in California, and like right now it's 53 degrees, okay? So anything to be snow is not something that is in my... That's in my wheelhouse. I don't understand snow. So any kind of snow, to me, is going hard. And it was actually coming down pretty good. And she decided to start to play around because she was driving. And I said something to this boy and girl. This is my last will and testament. And, you know, you're going to basically, you know, when you charge my phone back up and you find our frozen bodies, and I said, this is the part where the black person dies first. But then I said, but see, if we get trapped in the snow, I'm going to eat Jan. And I'm like, yes, now. And then I realized what I said. And I said, for those of you whose minds are in the gutter when I just said that, that is not what I meant. I said, you know, it was pretty funny because I keep laughing the whole time. Because I'm slightly freaking out. And like it's what you just said, I just realized those mountain roads, I've driven worse. She's driving up in the hills in Hollywood Hills as far as how steep and stuff and how narrow. But it was the most God's beautiful thing, because I've never seen, I don't do snow. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about living in California. If I decide to go, I mean, like right now, I can see, I mean, the snow levels have risen since it's gotten warm again. But when we had that rain that everybody's been waiting for, that only lasted a day, and I saw how low the snow levels had dropped, it's not beautiful. It's just beautiful. But I don't need to live in it. I just think it's a wonderful thing to look at from afar. This is why I live in California. You're talking to somebody who cries. I mean, not cries, but really starts to whine when it drops below 50 degrees. I'm going to break out my wool pea coat. And Bob was looking at it. Because I was reading some of your posts or your tweets. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing. But that last week when your antiquated power system went out and you guys are, you know, pretty much freezing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. I felt bad because at that moment when I was reading, that's probably about 50 degrees. And you're like, and see, this is why when I don't make comments to my friends that live on the East Coast and comment about, oh, gee, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm walking around in T-shirt. Well, actually, at the weight that I am now, I will not be walking around on tank tops and shirts and T-shirts and shorts because I care about my fellow man. And I wouldn't want to expose all this because, you know, just because it's native in your size, does not mean you should be wearing it. I'm a firm believer in covering stuff up because
dignity.
Yeah, dignity. Right, yeah, dignity. Because first of all, I'm snapping honestly now. Remember the other day when we were talking about gun control and we were talking about kids and when they said, you know, won't be seven or six, and I said about six and a half. And you pointed out how important when you're a certain age that half is, right?
Oh.
And so the other day in class, we were talking about absolute and how age is not an absolute. And at that very moment, you stuck it to my head because as of last Wednesday, January 21st, I am 49 and a half years old. So, I started giggling, and my teacher's looking at me kind of like I've lost my mind, but she already knows that there's there's some craziness. So, you know, and she just basically, she's like, what are you giggling at? And I just said, and then she realized she was talking to me, and she was like, never mind. She went on about the lesson. But it's those, you know, back to the stupidness that is our country and the gun control things, and just the fact that a six-year-old is not going to be able to see his, to say, I'm 6.5, or 5.5, or 7.5, or anything. And then people say, well, you know, I don't care because, why? Because freedom, and I want my gun. And I this is the thing, so you know, I'm actually, I wear a cross, and every so often, I grab hold of it, like I'm grabbing hold of it now. It's better than clutching the pearls. I will never, I swear, I promise you that I will never clutch pearls.
Oh, no. When you are empress and correctrix of the white people.
I should have pearls.
You're going to have to have pearls to clutch. And you're going to have to, and in that lovely voice, you're going to have to learn to scream, oh, my stars and garters.
Yes. Oh, my stars and garters. See, I can't do it. I'm going to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And
it's a very good start, Tracy. A very good start indeed.
And then what's gonna have to happen is, and that'll be the sign. When Tracy clutches the pearl, you're done.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And by the way, you got fan mail. Sylvia wrote in, sure. And she said, it sure is great hearing from Tracy. She's always so newsy.
Wait, newsy?
Newsy.
As in, like, cool.
Yeah, hey. You know, you bring a lot to the table. So... And Jim said, any person having gone through what Tracy's been through and her efforts to make or remake her life, plus negotiating the streets of L.A., has my respect. Happy anticipated birthday.
Well, you know, I'm excited about turning 50. I think we all go through this thing about you start to look back on your life and you get to that certain age and it's like, Jesus, what have I done? Or how much time have I wasted? And I had to start getting out of that. And I think about, well, Tracy, you weren't really wasting time. You were just preparing yourself for something else. And maybe you didn't do as well in class, or maybe you have to start over again and all this. But I just call that, I guess, you know, when stuff really happens to me and I really get down to the point where I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I come up out of it and I'm like, I count it all as joy because, see, what'll happen is when I become a therapist or a life coach or whatever the hell the universe tells me to wind up doing, my life would be that example of you can do things. You don't have to let your past define you, but you sure as hell better remember what your past is. Because you never know when you might have to go back and talk to those people that you try to forget about, you know,
yeah.
Or so draw back on those strengths that, you know, that even though, you know, when you spend 5 years on a couch because you're so depressed that you can't move and you barely just getting out of bed to go to the restroom is a Herculean. Am I saying it right?
Herculean, but, yes, Herculean.
Thank you, Herculean tab. Just getting up to brush your teeth. So it's like when I try to explain to people about depression, because I get into these heated discussions with Jen about depression, and it's like, you cannot just say, well, snap out of it. You cannot just say, get over it, because you don't know what you're trying to snap out of. You don't know what you're trying to get over because it's so many things, but then it may be that one thing. Or you're going through life, everything is fine, and then something hits you, and you're like, and it just kind of, I wouldn't say, it doesn't set me back like it used to, but it will knock me on my ass, and it's like, God damn it, what did I do? But now my coping mechanisms are getting better. But it's still very hard. I'm just thankful. I am very thankful because I live in California. And because we have a governor that works for Obamacare. and that the mental health programs are not shrinking, but expanding. You know what I'm saying? So people like me who, well, now you don't have to go through everything that I went through to get mental health care. It's there and it's readily available. So for addiction, you know, all that, and I'm pretty sure Tim could have. Where's Tim? And no, you can't have the extra room, I think. Hey, Tim, I'm moving into a three-bedroom house.
Oh, God. Don't start something, Tracy, just because you can.
Hey, don't start nothing. It won't be nothing. But that's because I can. It's not often that I can't. No, we are getting ready. And that's another terrifying thing. I've been in my apartment for 20 years. And we're
moving.
Oh,
dear God.
Yes. My apartment is not hoarders bad. I mean, there cannot be an episode of Hoarders because you can actually still walk in my house and walk through and sit. And stuff like that. But it's what's behind the closet door.
Is there a bulging to be perceived from said closet door?
Oh, Bob, Alex talks about me on the reel. He's like, Bob, it's a good thing I don't have a lot of clothes. Because I have his closet, I have my closet in my bedroom, and then there's a hall closet. And I just have too much stuff. I really, really, really have too much stuff. And Jen and I have come to a decision what we're gonna, the good thing is when we do move, we could do a piecemeal. You know, we don't have to do one big, huge, move. We could do it, you know. We actually could do it every, you know, take something over, and I could get everything set up the way I want it and stuff. And then I am starting to purge. I was going to start, you know, try to sell stuff, but I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not selling anything. I'm just going to give it away. Because there's just, I used to do cake decorating. I'm getting rid of all that stuff. Because first of all, I don't have the time to do cake decorating anymore. And if I decide to do it, I can buy it again. There's so many people that can use the stuff right now.
Yep.
You know, and I'm trying to, I was going through clothes and getting rid of stuff. And Jan's like, but you ought to say that because you're going to lose weight. I'm like, yes. But by the time I lose enough weight to get back into that outfit, I can buy something else. Why don't I just let somebody who is that size, I don't know, use it now? Because, see, they'll appreciate it. I don't need it. Bob, I have so many pairs of shoes. I have two bookshelves.
Oh, my.
And that's just the bookshelves. That's not including what's in the closet.
And, see, I'm not gonna go down that road where you get all Seinfeldian. What is it about women and shoes?
Women and shoes.
I'm not going to do that. You know why it is? Because they make interesting shoes for y'all.
Yes. If men's shoes were as interesting, and actually men's shoes are getting more interesting, especially like with the colors. And,
I mean, it's been boring since the spats went away.
Well, that's all, unless you're into Converse or Puma.
The Spectators, the black and the brown, or the black and the white with the wingtips.
Right.
And, yeah.
Wingtips and stuff. Come on. If men could have as many interesting pairs of shoes as women, they would be shoe whores as well.
The one thing that at least with the close of the reign of Louis the 14th, or sometime thereabouts. Men said, no, we're not. Well,
no.
All the men except little Marco Rubio said, well, I mean, it with the disco era, notwithstanding, kind of said, no, we're not wearing stacked heels anymore.
Yeah. Well, Marco, how tall is he? 4 foot two?
In his heels.
See, you know, now he's back to talking. See, this is what tickles me about him. Because, Rubio and Cruz, aren't both of their parents immigrants?
Yes. Now, this is where it gets confusing. Rubio's parents are both immigrants. They came, and he doesn't like to let it out there because he likes to get that panache of his people thinking his parents were some sort of anti-Castro freedom fighters. They weren't. They left Cuba during the Batista reign.
Okay.
But now, Rafaelito, yes, his daddy is a Cuban. And his daddy is a Cuban anti-Castro freedom fighter revolutionary, the same way that representative in Washington was wounded in a mortar attack. Okay, in other words, not at all.
People
with memories in Cuba remember Rafael Eduardo Cruz, and they remember him as being a blowhard wannabe. So he leaves Cuba and goes to
Canada,
right, yeah, where he meets Rafaelito's mama, who apparently by then was already voting in Canadian elections, but claims she was a Merkin.
Wait, so hold up, back it up. Okay, so if you...
Well, let's
do the math, shall we?
Well, okay. So Rafaelito was born in 1970 or thereabouts. Now we don't know if his mama was voting in Canadian elections in 1970. I don't think. But
so
we know that she was thereafter.
She,
and at some point in time, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, left her and went down to Houston and had some sort of a bizarre religious experience with some sort of bizarre right-wing evangelical fundamentalist type, and went from being an engineer to being a gospel sharp. I think there was probably a lot more money in it.
Yeah.
And Rafaelito eventually goes to school and graduates from Second Baptist High School in Houston.
Why does it sound like he's not an American?
Yeah, because he's probably not.
But he's white.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because you know that Muslim king.
Right. No. We only challenge the Americanness of people who can't pass the paper bag test.
Mm-hmm. Because wasn't our boy John McCain born in Panama?
Yes.
Okay.
And he wasn't born in the Canal Zone. He was born in a hospital outside the Canal Zone, outside what was technically American territory. But everybody agrees that his mama and daddy were both Americans, so that makes him Merkin. So we're not going to ask about John McCain.
But what does the Constitution say, Bob?
Well, it says you have to be a natural-born citizen.
And what does that mean, natural-born citizen?
Well, that was a phrase that they took from English law that meant actually born on the soil.
U.S. soil.
Right.
Okay.
So had McCain won in 2008, there would have been no question. And you know what? Had Barack Obama been born before Hawaiian statehood was achieved, it was a territory, there still wouldn't have been a question. But, you know, and you know what? If he had had a nice white Austrian, British, French, Dutch, Danish, German, Polish, what, Swedish father, there wouldn't have been any questions about that either.
No. But he had a nice Kenyan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and he's a Muslim because his father's Kenyan. So our boy Ted Cruz, he is not even an American. Oh my God, this is so awesome. This is the kind of stuff that you go, that song, things to make you go, because because you know me. This is why this is why I listen to your show, because I'm like, I want to ask. Let's ask. But you know, I have those "What would Bob do?" moments. I really do, and I'm like, let's ask Bob. And so, because I heard a while ago, the Donald was, you know, saying, calling into question Ted's citizenship. And now, if you're going to call somebody's citizenship into question, it really should be Ted Cruz. Because he wasn't born on American soil. Our current president, Barack Hussein Obama.
Was.
I love saying that. Because especially when I know I'm around people who get just grapes on their nerves. And I'm like, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a dark-skinned fellow that's, you know, in the White House right now. So he was actually born in Hawaii.
Right.
Which last time I checked was the United was a state. It may, because it, you know, maybe
no, it's yeah, well, full-fledged statehood. Yes.
Maybe it's the access is not in the contiguous. What is it? The contiguous? What's that word? I'm about to say that we're in the lower 48. Whatever.
Oh, Merca?
America. So,
Merca.
Well, he wasn't born in America. Yes, he was. But America, that up there, he was born on that there Hawaiian island. You know, they got cannibals over there too. You know,
headloppers.
And headloppers, and you know they're not Christian over there. That's stupid. I have a question, and maybe this is one of those Dr. John questions, Dr. Bill. If somebody was born in, say, Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands, then what?
That's a tough one. Presumably, if it was on an American military installation, you're in the clear. As long as Mama and Daddy are both Merkin.
So, I'll never forget this, because a million years ago, when my Ida cousin, that was, he's 30-something years old right now, and his mom was in the military. She was, he was born in Germany. Both of his parents were American, but the Annie was born on a military base. Now, would he be able to run, if you're talking about the true sense of what the Constitution says, but would that be considered United States because it's a U.S. military base, or no? See, now I'm getting those questions that you're going, copy.
Right. There you go again.
Well, no, because, see, I never thought about thinking about these kind of things. And the only reason why I am is because of people like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Because we both know that if Ted Cruz was a brother and there was a look that he might actually beat Donald Trump, he would still be on that as to whether or not, or if Teddy was a little darker. If he was just dark enough so people couldn't tell, it's like, wait a minute. Is he an American or is he one of those Hispanic kind of fellows? Well, wait a minute. He could be a Muslim. Because, you know, if you've seen pictures of my son, now my son does stuff just to make me crazy. He has grown out a full beard and mustache. I mean, not like, you know, long like those fools on the Duck People. Who are those idiots. But just a really, you know, thick beard and mustache. And his hair is curly. And I was looking at him, I'm like, see, he's just dark enough that people don't know what he is. And do you know how terrifying that is to me?
Oh, I can imagine. Well,
That is, why do I have to worry about that kind of stuff? Why do I live in a country where my law-abiding, wonderful, amazing human being son, even though I want him to take his ass back to college, but that's a whole other conversation. These damn millennials. I told him one day, I said, we don't have enough money for you to find yourself, son. Because, you know, that's what they do. I'm like, you're not rolling like that. You're going to have to go to school and do something. But anyhow, it is a legitimate fear. And I thank God that this stuff that's going on now with them just shooting brothers in the street. I mean, it was always going on, but it's just, I guess now it's been called more attention. But I'm just glad that where we live, I don't really have to worry about to a certain extent. And since he drives a cab, it's so funny because another thing that people don't think about, and he did because he's always in his cab, and every so often he'll drive either my car or Dan's car. I think we talked about this. And we have older cars, so they're nice cars, but, you know, my car is 12 years old and Jan's car is probably about the same, you know. But he's like, I notice the difference. He's like, when I'm driving the cab, I'm invisible. You know, the cops don't give me a second look. They just figure I'm working. Okay. He says, but the moment that he's driving my car or Jan's car, they don't mess with them, but they look at them harder and longer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, and it terrifies me on the real. I mean, this is why, I mean, not to say that what happens in Florida and all these other cities wouldn't happen in California, but we don't have Sandra Brown laws here. And so, you better have a debt. You know, I'll have to worry about the cops on the real, but at least I don't have to worry about somebody like a Zimmerman or that other fool, you know, that killed a young man because I don't have to worry about somebody
And you know what, Tracy, as long as you stay out of gun stores, you should be okay too, because there's another one out there. I don't know if you caught this, but,
no.
Over the weekend, down in Pearl River, Mississippi,
they just said Mississippi.
Yeah, there was a Freedom Protecting gun store, okay, where you could go and buy your Freedom Protecting guns. And a couple of fellas had, a man and his son had taken their Freedom Protector there to get it fixed because there's something wrong with it and they couldn't protect freedom.
Right.
So they went to the store. They went to the gun store, and apparently they had managed to screw up their Freedom Protector so bad that the fella at the gun store couldn't make it protect freedom.
This is not going to end well.
No, it's not. So 44-year-old Jason McLemore owned McLemore Gun Shop, and his 17-year-old son Jacob worked with him there.
Oh, God.
Well, Audie McCool, 52, and his son Michael McCool, 29, were the ones who wanted their Freedom Protector fixed so they could protect freedom. But they went to the store, and Mr. McLemore explained, no, your Freedom Protector can't protect freedom because it ain't fixed, and I can't fix it. But there is going to be a $25 service charge.
Oh, no.
At which point, Mr. McCool said, that is outrageous to charge me $25 for not fixing my Freedom Protector.
Well, I had to take my time and effort to do so.
But Mr. McCool wasn't having none of it. And 29-year-old young McCool then pulled out the spare Freedom Protector, and Freedom Protectored Mr. McLemore and Mr. McLemore's 17-year-old son, who are very busy right now being dead.
Well, isn't that along the same vein?
No, wait.
Wait, there's more. Okay.
At this time, no charges have been filed.
Well,
At this time, no charges have been filed. The investigation continues.
But Bob, now, I thought you were going to tell me how, because they did something, they tried to modify the gun, and the gun accidentally went off and shot the people that were trying to fix it.
No.
You told, now, did you or did you not tell me that the son took out his spare, so which was a concealed weapon, I'm thinking?
Or maybe he was carrying openly and notoriously. We don't know.
We don't know, but the bottom line is, that's how they decided to end the dispute, by shooting. They didn't agree. They killed two people.
Well, now,
over
now,
$25.
Now, Mother McLemore was at the counter when the McCools came in. And you know how it is with them McCools. We don't know. But Mother McLemore was at the counter when the McCools come in, and she tried to tell them about the $25 service charge, and they wasn't having none of it. And so she went and got Pappy McLemore and Sonny McLemore come out too, just because he was learning the business.
And now they're dead.
And now they are dead.
And
no charges have been filed, no arrests have been made, and the investigation continues.
Because the
police showed up, and they wasn't sure but what it's okay to do that in Mississippi. Because freedom.
This is one of those things, these conversations that Jared and I have, because she'll be 62 this year. And basically, she's going to work until I finish school. So she's going to probably work into the 4 years, maybe five. That is, if I go on to get my PhD, which I probably will do. How could never? We're talking about how far our money will go once she retires and I'm in school, I'm trying to get my practice up and going, blah, 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 blah. And we were talking about, she was talking about, where we're going to move to. And I named up the states that we weren't going to move to. And she knows I'm not going to ever move down south because I'll visit my family and I'll be out. But I said, that's that white thing. I said, sweetheart, not going to live in a state where, like what you just talked about, happens, and there's even a question as to what to do. I'm not going to live in a state where a governor like Bobby Jindal, who instead of all he had to do with a swap of his pen, extend food stamp benefit for the month of December so people can have food. I'm not going to live in a state where I have, even though gay marriage is all the land, where there's even a question that I could walk down the street and hold my wife's hand. I'm not going to live in a state and pay taxes to people who would rather run me out of that state on a tarred feather on a rail than have me even look at you. I cannot and I will not do that. If that means I have to stay in California for the rest of my life and pay more money in taxes or what have you, and pay a higher cost of living to live here, so freaking be it. I cannot. I just, when I listen to my mom talk about North Carolina, and I just listen and she goes, how bad? I said, you move there?
I would presume, Tracy, that Tennessee is out.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there are some wonderful parts of Tennessee, but I'd guess Tracy's out. It was the weekend in Memphis when 59-year-old Richard L. Martin got upset. He was an employee of the U.S. Postal Service, a white guy, and he got all pissed off at his supervisor and began screaming racial slurs.
Is the supervisor black?
I presume so, since he was screaming racial slurs. Maybe Hispanic, I don't know. But then proceeded to beat her with a chair.
Oh. And
after,
so now what are they
after
about
he had punched after he had punched her and knocked her onto the floor. WBRC TV interviewed him, or interviewed people, and his coworker, Roland Martin's coworker, Cora Haywood, said, "Well, he's a good person, he really is, but some people can't handle stress. He had enough years, he could have retired. I wish he would have walked away. Even if he just walked off, he could have faced consequences for walking off the job, but that could have been handled. This is far more serious. Richard is a very smart person. I think he knows what he needs to do. I just pray he will make the right decision. I pray that for him."
He beat, first of all, he beat a woman. He beat, well, who was it? Which state was it? Was it Georgia when the man at the Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, well, I mean, fill in the blank.
Was the Crackers? I don't know.
Won't be going to Michigan, I presume. Michigan's out.
Well, it's too cold.
It's also too poisonous.
Yes, because I don't know, Flint, Michigan. Yeah, they like to poison people with the water.
But see, here's the thing.
Right.
Here's the thing about Flint. Flint. You know, Flint's problem was caused by lead pipes, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what most of America doesn't know, and most of America consuming water that's running through them doesn't know, is that there are still, in this country, millions of miles of lead pipes transporting so-called potable water.
Why? Oh, I know, because we don't want to put money in infrastructure to fix that shit.
So,
is that a fair assumption?
This is a problem that goes back to the 19th century.
Wait, we got stuff.
Yeah, I mean, hell, there's gas. I mean, we found this out the hard way a couple of years ago. There's gas mains in New York that have been carrying gas since the 1800s.
Well, look what's happening out here in Porter Ranch. You know, you get Aaron Brockovich to come out.
Oh, I can't even start with Porter Ranch. But here, let's stick with water for a minute, Tracy. As far back as 1986, the EPA performed a study. And in 1986, they found that one in five of every drinking water system, that's 20% of the drinking water systems in the United States, had more lead in it than was considered safe. So that's when they passed the Clean Water Drinking Act, or Clean Drinking Water Act. Only under the Reagan administration did Ronnie Reagan finally sign a bill that would ban the use of leaded pipe and high lead soldering.
Okay, so what happened? And I'm not even being sarcastic when I ask that.
That banned the present use or the future use.
The future, but nothing from the past. In other words, if you got lead pipe and it was before this became a law, you're cool. You don't have to, because it didn't even go into the law, didn't state that you had to retrofit or change the pipe, bring them up to code. Like in California, it doesn't matter how, you know, they have building inspections and whatnot. I don't care how old the building is, you have to retrofit the building in order for it to pass for, you know, because why? I don't know. We have earthquakes out here. So, you know, you want to make sure these buildings can pretty much stand up and, you know, for earthquakes. So, in other words, they didn't do that for the pipe.
Well, I mean, these details are scary as hell, Tracy. D.C. has a lead problem. D.C.'s out. And they've been working since 2003 to dig out and replace poisonous pipes. They ain't done. They're not done.
That
And this is going up in D.C. since 2003.
Yeah. So at present, as you and I sit here conversing and bringing the program to a close, there are, and we really don't know exactly what the number is, but there are 3 to 6 million miles of lead pipe in this country that are still carrying water.
And thank you for ending the show on such a happy.
I am a little ray of daggum sunshine.
I mean, gosh darn it, I hell fire. Now, Bob Dow, you're going around saying these things, and it's the kind of stuff. Why? Because I don't know. Facts, figures, science. You know, I'm not leaving California. Not
I know. Where's the fun? Where's the fun?
It's like, this is, not to say that California, is, I mean, it could be a bullshit state as well as the next one. But at least we got great weather. And all that. Oh, and by the way, I meant to say this. I don't know if you got the last. I think I just sent something last week.
Yes, you did, and I thank you very much.
So I'm going to do another one. I know it's the end of the show. How much are you short at this moment?
Because
you were talking so much.
Well, we are about $80.
Oh, cool. Okay, $40. Y'all, come on. Somebody get the other 40.
Awesome. Thank you very, very kindly, Tracy. So there's a $40 challenge on the table.
There you go. So in any event, thank y'all for listening, and thank y'all for, especially you, Bob, for keeping me sane. You basically have ridden from the valley for me all the way to the Inland Empire, and I thank you because you made the traffic not so terrible.
I got to road trip with Tracy. How cool.
You got to road trip. I went, and Tim will know, I went from Van Nuys, and right now I went from the 118 to the 210, the 210 to the 57, and I'm now on the 10, trying to get onto 10, going to Ontario. So Tim is like, oh my God. So yes, so I have been driving ever since I got on the radio with you for an hour and a half. And I'm still a half an hour from where I need to be.
Well, I wish I could just ride with you the rest of the way, but we got to wrap it up, Tracy.
I wish you could. So anyway, you know, $40 challenge.
Hey, and you know what? One of these days, you're going to flip right out because I'm going to land at LAX, and
you're going to call me,
and then the call's going to come in,
and we're going to go get you some of those deep fried shrimp tacos.
First thing. Tracy, you drive carefully, and it was a delight hearing from you this evening.
It's always a delight to talk to you, Bob. Take care.
Bye now. Out on the 405 or the 5 or the 6 and 7 8s, that's the one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver. What a lovely conversation to begin the last week of January 2016. Titanic Tuesday tomorrow, and hopefully you'll be right there where you need to be, right here at the horn. Y'all have a lovely evening. Thanks to everybody who makes this all happen. Thank you again to Steve and Bob and Tosh. And Graham and Jennifer, and now thank you to Tracy for the $40 challenge to round everything out. Five can become 10, 10 can up to 40, and that'll make us to the good for the evening. Thank you all very, very kindly. Have a lovely evening, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.